You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, guys. This is Dakota Cochran, and you're listening to Pure Evil MMA.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Pure Evil MMA. I'm so excited to be here, not only because it's Friday, but because we got one of my boys here on the phone, which we haven't really talked to in about, I think, 3, maybe 4 years. And he's had a huge weekend, man. So let's welcome back Dakota Cochran here on Pure Evil MMA. What's going on, Dakota? You just had an amazing week, didn't you?
Yeah, it was a hell of a weekend, that's for sure. And then crazy week. Trying to get back on track with work and everything.
Let me ask you this to start things out. Is this the highlight of your career? I mean, if you look at your career in a nutshell, I mean, you've been on The Ultimate Fighter. Everyone was talking about you more now, I feel, than they were back then with the wins that you've been getting over, you know, former champion like Johnny Hendricks, and then this past weekend against, Chris Leben. So is this the highlight? Is this the high of your career right now?
Yeah, man, it's fun. I don't really think of it that way. I just feel like, you know, whoever they put in front of me, I'm trying to go kick their ass and just move on. You know, I'm enjoying the competition and it's fun getting to compete against these high level guys like Leben, who I've watched for years and I have mad respect for. So yeah, it's fun.
Look, can we talk about that, man? Because of your last couple of wins, there's such big names, and you just brought up that you've been watching, you know, Chris for years. Were you a little nervous? Like, what is that like going into a fight against somebody that, you know, you may have looked up to in the past? Is it a little weird, or do you really not look at it like that? Like, what is that like when you get offered these fights?
No, I really don't look at it that way, I guess. I look at it more of a challenge because they have a big name, and you know it's good to beat those kind of guys. The only thing with Leben was his size was the only thing I was worried about. You know, because he's naturally a bigger dude than me, so that's really the only thing I was like, well, it's gonna be a hard ass fight because he's gonna be a big dumb bitch.
And especially after his last fight, I mean, that was pretty impressive what Leben was able to do to his last opponent. I mean, this is an exciting time right now in combat sports. I mean, back in the day, you know, even 2 years ago, UFC was the leader in combat sports. Now, Bellator is doing way better than they have in the last 5 years. You got BKFC in just 6 events, you know, blowing up. I believe, at least I'll say this for myself and for what I'm seeing on social media, more people are watching BKFC than they were UFC, Bellator, or even Glory. So what's the biggest difference between fighting for this promotion compared to any other promotion before in the past? What's the biggest difference?
You know, something I noticed was, obviously you're going to have, you know, all the fighters are going to be tough. So if you have a promoter who truly promotes the event, you know, it's going to succeed. So that's something I noticed that David, he does. He promotes the hell out of this show, and it really shows like how much work and effort he's put in to promote it. Just by seeing like how much media was there, you know, and all the interviews and all the work behind the scenes, you can definitely tell he's putting in some long hours.
Now, can we talk about this fight really quick? I mean, how did this come about? Did they just immediately offer you this fight and you immediately agreed to it, or did they give you options? How did this fight really come into play?
Well, a while back, I was supposed to fight Brennan Ward.
Oh, yes.
Something didn't happen, and then those two got matched up, and then he texted me. He said, hey, Ward might be out. Would you be interested in fighting Leben? I said, hell yeah. I'm always interested in a fight. So then I really didn't even think anything of it. Didn't think it was going to happen. And then it, like a couple of days, or like a day later, he's like, all right, it's on. I just gave him the thumbs up. Said, okay, let's roll.
Now, before we go any further, I just want to give I just really want to give our thoughts, and I really hope that he's doing well, because he's from right here in my state, and it's unfortunate that you weren't able to fight him. It's unfortunate Chris wasn't able to fight him. I really want to see Brendan back into the scene, whether it's MMA or BKFC, whatever it is. I hope that he's doing well, and let's just bow our heads really quick and just hope that he can go through his journey and come back on the other side. Now, moving forward with this fight, man, bring us through it. Was it what you expected? What was it like fighting Chris?
We obviously knew he was going to be big and strong. So we just had to make sure we had a good game plan about moving in and out and trying not to get in a fist fight with him, not a brawl. But that obviously didn't happen as much as I would have liked. I took it on a week notice, so I wasn't in great fight shape, obviously. So by the third round, man, I asked my corners, I said, what round is it? And they're like, it's going into the fourth, bro. And I was like, oh, okay. So literally, I couldn't move my legs hardly at all. Wow. It's not in good shape. And so that last two rounds was basically all heart, you know?
So you've actually had almost about 50 MMA fights at this point. Was it the true vet of you that like came out, like the true heart of it all? Like, what did you have to do in those moments to really keep pushing forward and make sure that you secured the win? Because BKFC, they really expect you guys to keep high pace.
Yeah, I honestly think it's all in your head. You know, if you really want to win that fight, you're going to put your heart and soul into it. But you could find every excuse not to finish that fight hard and be okay with a loss to leave it, you know, and I still wouldn't look too bad. But, man, I just like to compete, and that's why I compete. I want to have my best performance, whether I'm in shape or not. I want to go out there and try to win. So that's just a competitor in me.
Now, I've been doing sports. Anyone that even exercises or competes in really in anything that includes, like, that really asks everything of you, whether it's your cardio or, you know, even your heart when it gets to those moments. What is it like in those moments in a fight where it's like you really feel your legs giving out underneath you, you're exhausted? Do you kind of just, like, hear footsteps? Do you hear the crowd? Like, what is really going through your head in those moments where you feel so exhausted and you've still got, you know, maybe 4 minutes left to perform? What's really going on, if you could paint that picture?
So it goes in spurts. Like, sometimes you're, like, in survival mode, you know, when he has his flurry, but then you, like, you get a good connection, and then you're like, yeah, let's try to finish this fucking fight. And then, you know, it just kind of goes in spurts like that. But you got to keep that positive mentality. You're going to knock him out, or you're going to finish the fight. So that's something that I feel it's important to keep in mind.
I feel like that's definitely the vet in you speaking here, because I'm sure you've been in a lot of fights where it's like you're in that same position. And like you just said, sometimes you just want to go in there and empty the gas tank and just finish the fight. But this time around, I feel like we see this in Dustin Poirier's performances as of late. Instead of going there and exchanging and risking it, he actually takes a step back instead of, you know, pushing on the gas pedal. Is that where you're at right now in your career? And is that due to how long you've been fighting?
You
feel like you're a smarter fighter. Like, when you get in those moments when you feel like you just want the fight to end, you feel like you're a smarter fighter now, obviously, than any time in the past, correct? Like,
Yeah, you're smarter with your energy, but I would say the will to try to finish the fight and still in the fight, that is just all mentality. No matter if you're young or a vet, you know, I think you still have to have that fire. And that's, I think, a lot of older guys, they lose that fire of, I want to finish this damn fight rather than just survival, you know. So I feel like you got to have a good mixture of the two to excel in this game.
Now, how does your family feel about this? I mean, you have a full family. You have a beautiful wife. You have a couple of children. I mean, you're a family man. So how does your wife and your kids feel about you fighting in this organization?
Yeah, they're not, like, super excited about all the... especially I've been fighting some big guys, you know?
Yeah.
So they're not exactly in my normal weak spot. So that part she wasn't excited about, but... You know, she knows she's not going to talk me out of it, and she doesn't try. She just kind of goes with the punches, and she just says I'm going to give her a heart attack. And
now, honestly, man, do you let all of your children watch? I know that you got a little one. I mean, what's the age where you're going to allow children to watch their father or their mother, whatever it may be, perform in this sport? Because if we go back to, remember the Fedor versus, what was it, Mark Coleman fight, how weird that was after for the children that were crying, and then at the end, you know, Fedor and Mark came together and they tried to make it better. We don't want to really see that. We don't see children have to experience their parents getting hit. So what do you think the age is to, you know, where it's acceptable for a child to watch their parent compete in this sport?
I think it's all in parenting. I don't think there's really an age. I think that you just got to parent your kids to accept it and understand it's a sport and like it's not a, you know, just a fight. Like I have a 14-year-old, a 9-year-old tomorrow, and a 3-year-old. So all of my kids watch the fight, and you know they know Daddy goes into a fight, but they know I take it with a lot of respect, and I give my opponent respect, and I'm not gonna badmouth and trash talk. And, I treat it as an actual sport, and you have a winner and you have a loser, and you know you take the good with the bad.
I totally
so
agree.
I
with,
think it's just all in parenting.
I totally agree with that statement, man. Because I feel like there's a lot of kids out there that might grow up be like, oh, my father's a boxer, my father's a fighter, and they might be a bully in school. So how do you explain it to like? How are you going to explain it to your youngest? When he comes of age, what do you usually say to you know, make it normal for them to understand what you do as to make money for them?
I just like my 9-year-old, he's in wrestling, so I just tell him, hey, you go out there and do your best, you try your absolute hardest, and no matter the outcome, I'm gonna be proud of you. So that's, you know, I preach that at every single meet. That way, if you know, if he tries his heart out and I see it, man, I'm ecstatic for him. You know, he may go 4-0 or he may go 3-1 or 0-3. It doesn't really matter. Just if he's trying his hardest, I'm gonna be proud and I'm gonna let him know is it okay to lose, and you just gotta learn from it and get better.
Are you guys a competitive family? I see that your daughter, your oldest, is a basketball player. Are you guys a competitive family like that? And how do you help her, you know, accept when, you know, they're in a game and they end up losing? Because it could be a lot harder for children accepting a loss. And you've been there. So what is that like as a parent dealing with that? And are you a competitive family?
Yeah, we're a very competitive family. My wife, she was a state champion pole vaulter. And she vaulted in college, and I was All-American pole vaulter in college. So, yeah, that's how we met. And we both are athletes, and we want our kids to be athletes, too. My daughter, she's actually in softball right now and has tons of games and all kinds of stuff. And as far as, like, sportsmanship, we preach high on sportsmanship. If she has an attitude, she has to... She gets repercussions for that, basically, whether it's grounding from her phone or whatever it is. But we do not allow the attitude when you lose. Like, I think it was the very beginning of her career, like in softball, and she had that game, and she didn't even talk to, like, the people who come and see her. And I told her, I said, hey, just because you had a bad game doesn't mean you can ignore everybody that came and support you. You know, like, if I lose a fight, do I just ignore everybody, or do I come out and appreciate and say thank you to everybody who come out? You know, especially your immediate family, you want to come out and show your appreciation for them coming out and seeing you. So, yeah, we preach high on sportsmanship.
Let's be real for a second, man. This is a very serious question. Would you ever want any of your children, you know, being in this sport of in combat sports? Or would you really try to push them down a different path than, you know, the path that you've followed with, you know, being in MMA or being in boxing or BKFC? Would you want that for them, or would you push them away from that?
No, I'm not going to push them either way. So I'll expose them to, obviously, like, whatever they kind of want. If they want to try, like, my son's in wrestling right now, you know, if he loves wrestling, so I'm gonna help him succeed in that as much as I can. But if he wanted to do basketball, you know, that's up to him. I'm not gonna persuade him one way or another. It's just, I know if you're truly passionate about it, you can be good at any sport, but you have to be passionate about it, or else you're not going to do well. So that's where it's up to them.
These responses, man, are just on point. I love it. In the last 3 minutes of this interview, I got to ask you what everyone's wondering. Did you and Chris talk backstage? Did you get to talk to him? And if so, what was that like?
No, I didn't, actually. I was getting stitched up, and I think he got taken to the hospital, so I didn't get to talk to him, but I was very surprised in all the interviews he did. He was super respectful, and I was very surprised at that, and I was pleasantly surprised. I was happy that he was, and obviously I'm always going to be respectful if my opponent is, so it was truly awesome to fight a guy like Chris and see how he handled himself in a professional manner.
I also got to ask this, man, on such a short notice, how did you think you performed? Are you blown away by how you were able to go in there and get things done the way that you did, just on, you know, short notice like this?
No, definitely not blown away, but I just feel like I wish I was in better shape so I would have been able to perform better, because then I wouldn't have gotten hit so much. I could have moved in and out a lot more, but you know, I'm a competitor, and I'm gonna try to win no matter what my circumstances are. I'm not gonna give any excuses, and for if I would have won or lost, that is what it is. Most people don't care that I wasn't in shape, or most people don't care that you get on notice. It's just whether you have a W or an L next to it. That's all most people care about.
Now, I got two last questions for you. I do a show with James McSweeney, which was also on The Ultimate Fighter Season 10 with Brendan Schaub, Roy Nelson, Kimbo, all those guys. And we were talking about BKFC and the difference between the damage of MMA and the damage that you receive in bare knuckle. Now, what's the difference? Because what he told me and what I understood was that even though it looks worse, that you're getting these cuts on your face, it's really not deep. Like, it's really not that much brain damage like you would get in, you know, boxing or mixed martial arts. How do you differentiate the damage between the two? What's the biggest difference? Is it a safer sport than MMA, or
yeah,
no?
I would say it depends on the opponent. Like,
okay.
When I fought Hendricks, you know, he hit me and I had some superficial issues and cuts or whatever, but nothing really hurt. But when I fought Lieben, man, he hits hard. So it didn't matter if it was bare knuckle or glove, he hit hard. So I feel like that one was a tough one to fight. And obviously, he said I hit hard. So, you know, that's probably the biggest compliment I could have perspective had from him. So, man, that's super awesome.
My last question before we let you go here. What's next, man? Are we going to see you fight? How many times do you want to fight before the end of the year? We got a little bit under 6 months. We got about 5 months left. Are you going to get back in there? What are your plans right now? Are you taking some time off? What can we look forward to with Dakota Cochran?
I'm going to take every opportunity I can because I'm not going to fight forever, and I enjoy it. So that's kind of my mentality. Hey, that comes through. Hell yeah, let's roll. I have a business, and I got to make sure money's rolling in there, and we're treating our customers right and everything. So that's my main focus. And then obviously, if I get a fight scheduled, I'm going to train my ass off for it. Kind of take what comes to me.
Last but not least, it wouldn't be right. I'll get yelled at if I don't ask this. What did you think about the main event between Paulie and Artem? What were your thoughts? But first answer, who were you rooting for, if you're comfortable with answering that first?
Yeah, definitely rooting for Artem. You know, he was a class act and seemed like a good dude when I talked to him. Man, if I was Artem, I would have punched him probably in the weigh-ins too. Or just little things like that probably did definitely piss me off. And him talking about MMA fans and how they're, I don't know, not smart or whatever he said,
yeah,
definitely made me root for Artem even more.
And what did you think about the decision? I mean, how did you score it?
I would say Artem, just because of pure aggression, and that's kind of my thoughts. Like, I feel like bare knuckle, you have to have a combination of being a tough son bitch and skilled. You can't just be skilled and not tough, because like that's how I feel like Paulie was. He was skilled, but he's just not tough. And Artem, he's skilled and a tough son bitch. So I think That's your recipe for being a bare-knuckle boxer.
Dakota, I want to thank you so much for joining us once again here on Pure Evil MMA. You know what we like to do at this point in the interview? I hand the imaginary microphone over to you. If you have any sponsors, shout-outs, social media tags, the floor is now all yours.
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram, on Facebook, Dakota Cochran MMA, Twitter. And sponsors have Big Brain, have Twin J. I have Green Belly, my DC Management, Animal Instinct, they're a good clothing company. B&B Roofing, Stay Arch Fit, and I'm sure I'm missing some other people.
But your wife. Your wife.
Yes, and she's my amazing woman. She makes the meals for me. She takes care of the kids when I'm gone. You know, that's super important to not have to worry about and stress about, like, the kids whatsoever, like, when I'm gone, because she takes care of that, and she doesn't even make me feel bad or bother me, like, about, you know, having to deal with all the kids' stress. And so, yeah, definitely my wife, that is for sure number one.
Thanks, Dakota. Enjoy the rest of your day. We're looking forward to what the rest of 2019 brings, and congratulations on all the success.
All right, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
God bless. There you guys go, Dakota Cochran, man. It's been about 3, 4, maybe even 5 years since the last time that Dakota's been here on Pure Evil MMA. Man, he's been blowing up on every podcast we're talking. I think it's so impressive. I've said this on the last couple of podcasts. 6 events in and BKFC is doing this well? That's amazing. This sport has been around for how many hundreds of years? No one cared. There were a couple of bare knuckle promotions out there. BKFC this year pulled out ahead. Man, now they're signing big names. Now there are some takeaways on the competition level in this, but I'm not going to really look too deep into that. I spoke about that with Jimmy Smith from Bellator UFC, now over at Titan FC, if you guys haven't heard. So congratulations to Jimmy. He recently did Invicta. He just moved, matter of fact. Now he's over at Titan FC, so big things for Jimmy Smith, and we spoke about that exact subject of the competition over at BKFC and what he thought about it. So make sure to check that out down below in the playlist here, whether on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube, Facebook. Give us a thumbs up, subscribe down below. I'm Evil Eddie from Pure Evil MMA, pureevilmma.com for all the latest MMA news and interviews. Remember, without evil, there's no purity. White knuckles to the end. Yourselves.